You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we are tonight. Wow, I'm nervous. My passcode for my phone didn't recognize my fingerprint. Too sweaty. I had to type it in. So, notes are on. You guys make me nervous. Here we go. I am really, really thankful for Family Camp, guys. You know, the songs that Steve just led, when all the God singers get home, you know, I do think about Family Camp to me as a little bit of a foretaste, a preview of heaven. To think of all of God's people. You know, these are the ones, a lot of the ones we know now. But think of all of God's people, past, present, and future, together in heaven. It's going to be awesome. That's what we're longing for. That's what we're looking for. And that's what the Lord's calling us home to. So I'm really thankful for that. And you know, many times I've thought my favorite thing about Family Camp isn't the preaching, it's the fellowship. But I have to be honest, I really like the preaching too. It is the Word of God that performs its work in us who believe. Amen? I mean, you really can't have one, honestly, apart from the other. It is the Word that we've been born again by that Word for a sincere love of the brethren. And apart from the Word, apart from commitment to the Word and to the truth, there is no real fellowship. So I'm thankful for both of those. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read in beginning of verse 17. I'm going to go to the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you have taught us the truth. Lord, we're mindful of where we came from, the way that we used to walk, the way that we used to think, and the futility of that. Lord, you rescued us from that. You brought us out of the darkness and brought us into the kingdom of marvelous light, the kingdom of your beloved Son. Father, we're thankful for your word that just reminds us, Lord, who we are. I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have at this family camp to consider, Lord, these words, to consider who you've made us to be and to remember that and to lock into that and to carry, Lord, as Marshall just said, Father, for your glory to be manifested in us. I ask that you be with me tonight as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that each of us, Father, would really reconnect and remember, Father, who you made us to be. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, some years ago, I think this was Charlie Jacobs. I've been giving credit to him for it, and I'm going to keep on unless somebody tells me otherwise. But I remember Charlie saying that, you know, we become Christians when we're immersed into Christ, right? And conversion and immersion is the theme here. That's, as Marshall pointed out, like that's where the change actually takes place. We become Christians at our immersion. But he said, then we spend the rest of our lives as Christians really figuring out what happened in the waters of immersion. And I think that's really true. I mean, maybe we figured it out, but at least really recognizing that and keying in on that and understanding that, and where our, as Steve Doty, I've heard him say, where our faith catches up to that spiritual reality. You know, I know Kevin Simpson likes to say, know Christ. Know who you are in Christ and know your purpose in Christ. And so, brethren, it's bottom line, it's essential that we know who we are. And it's every bit as important that we remember who we are. You know, Brother Phil actually preached a great message. Was that just last night? There's been so many messages since then. But really a great message on, hey, the reminder, right? And God in His wisdom, He has a very definitive point that we can go to and say, hey, I remember I attended the funeral of that old man. I remember I was born again. I really appreciated that. Because, man, that reminder is super important. Actually, my buddy Rich Wallace here, I actually like you guys to pray. Rich, would you just stand up for a second? He's in orange back there. Rich was immersed 4 years ago here yesterday. Okay? And we need to pray for Rich. He's got bile duct cancer, and it's a rough go. But, you know, I'm thankful. He can, you know, what Phil was saying, that we know the birth took place in heaven. But, man, it's nice to come back and remember, hey, this is who I am. But tonight I want to take that and take it to that next step. Hey, let's remember what actually happened there. Yes, it's definitive. This is the moment that we were placed into Christ. But what happened in those waters of immersion? It's a little bit of a cliche, but it's true. We consistently act in accordance with the way that we see ourselves. It's a reality. My inner picture drives who I am. And if you could connect all of the dots of the things that I think and say and do, and it lines up exactly with the way that I view myself. It's the way God made us. And so God wants us to key in on who He's made us to be. Tonight it's a really basic message, guys. There's nothing fancy about this one. But I've found in my life that sometimes when things start getting a little off kilter, it's actually the way to fix it is for me to go back to the basics. It's the fundamentals and do those right. See what they are and get them right. You know, I want to give just an example, and hopefully you can connect with this at a spiritual level. My boys, sometimes they got a little older, and sometimes in sports, I got to the point where I can't really, long time ago, I couldn't really coach him anymore. But before a game, sometimes, hey, you know who you are. Go out there and prove it. Sometimes in the middle of a game, look, you know, maybe look at me. You know who you are. Sometimes after a game, hey, maybe stuff didn't. You know who you are. Hey, what? And my boys with life, they're at that age, same thing. Sometimes we have conversation, it's just that simple, really. I just remind them, you know who you are. What do I mean by that? Honestly, there's a lot that goes into, they know what I mean by that. There's a lot that goes into that statement. But simply, let's just put it this way tonight. All of the things that you've been taught, all of the preparation, all of the adversity, all of the struggles to this point have prepared you for this moment. You know you're ready for this. You know who you are. Let's think about this spiritually. You know, in a spiritual sense, there obviously is a growing process. So, you know, Rich, 4 years ago, immersed into Christ. He has a lot better idea 4 years later of who he is than even when he got immersed into Christ. But, you know, it's a simple thing. I guess in my family, I'll just say this. Hey, you're a Wilson. Like, you're born, if you are so blessed as to be born into the Wilson family, you get that name Wilson, and there's something right away. This is who we are. This is the way Wilsons do things. These are, I'm going to put this term on there. It's expectations. But it's not a bunch of rules. This is who we are. Now, did any of my kids really know that when they were born into my family? No, but as they've grown, obviously that culture, that Wilson, that actually, Pops, I got something for you. Somebody told me the other day, and I can't quite do this because I know you would not accept proskuneo from me, but somebody said I should bow down before you and thank you for what you've given in our family. And I am really thankful for that. You know, just as a side note, like to break the chains of what the family was outside of Christ. But now as Wilson's, hey, there's something that comes with that. There's an expectation. And my kids didn't know that when they were born, but they've all learned that. It's been a process. To now my boys are old enough, I say, you know who you are. Hey guys, isn't that, we were born as God's son. Our name was changed from Wilson to God's son. And that started what Phil was talking about. And a reminder, that took place. We were brought into God's family. And with that, there's a certain expectation. There's a certain culture. There's a certain understanding of just this is who we are as God's people. And so we got to know who we are. But then there's a reality that we got to recognize too. The world chips away at that spiritual reality. The world wants to destroy us. The world wants to mess with that image. I like some stuff my dad's brought out. You know, really, what did Satan do in the garden? If you put it simply, what Satan did is he started to mess with that image. They were made in the image of God, and Satan came along and started to mess up that image. Replace being made in the image of God to where Jesus would say in John chapter 8, you guys are of your father, the devil. He twisted that around. Okay? Got them engaged in sin, and we know the story of the human race from that point forward. So the reality of it, Satan is afraid of new creatures. That's the only thing Satan's afraid of. Christ and Christ's people. We're the only ones who can defeat him. We are, as was mentioned, I think, by Jeff this morning, we're spiritual supermen. But there is one thing that can be our kryptonite. I think Mike Ferguson even hit this morning, is doubt. It's lack of faith. It's forgetting who we are. If we forget who we are, then there's opportunity for Satan to come in and to redirect us and actually a drifting away to take place to where we could be his again. So, you know, Satan tempts, guys, with the purpose of having us to fail, having us to fall. And God allows that when Satan comes to tempt us, God allows that testing for another purpose, for the purpose of us proving ourselves. Now, any failures that we might have along the way, Satan's going to magnify those, wants to magnify those in your mind, and he's going to remind you of those failures. See, this is who you are. You're a loser. Nothing changed. All you did was got wet. Even after they moved out of the sand, further down. Nothing changed. Like, that's the game that Satan wants to play with us. But, and he wants you to go into a spiritual slump. You know, losing begets losing. You ever notice that? Like, Mark Miller coached his kids up how to do that. I mean, not, you know. Hey, you want to be, you want to, not, I need to clarify that. Being a Miller is not contrasted to being Wilson in terms of losing. I'm talking about you coaching up your school kids like, hey, this is what you need to do to, you know, go through. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, you want to get into trouble? This is what you do. You just got to push through. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Okay. Sorry, all you Miller kids. I love you guys, and you guys are winners. So don't, please. Next point. Losing begets losing. Satan wants to remind us of that. On the other hand, God forgives and forgets our failures. I mean, I'm thankful for that. I'm really, really thankful for that. God forgives and forgets our failures. And he wants us to do the same so that we can move on with who he's made us to be. He reminds us who we are in Christ. He's building in us a winner mentality. And just as losing begets losing, even more, winning begets winning. There's something the scripture talks about called proven character. You win and you know who you are. And that next win comes because it's expected. You know you're going to win before it happens. And so this really is the key to our Christian walk, brethren. Doesn't the scripture say, what is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, faith in Christ, in a general sense, is really easy. Like, I can look at the prophecies, for example, from Isaiah 53. There is no doubt in my mind who Jesus is. Like, it is, I am 100% convinced this is God's word. Jesus, who this book says he is, he died, he rose again. He has the keys of death and of Hades. I love that passage. Like, that's who Jesus is. And that is not difficult at all for me to believe. You know what's sometimes a little tougher? Is for me to believe what God says about me. About Christ in me. I think I've heard my dad say, you know, all that proof and stuff that we go through, the evidence and then we build the proof that the Bible is the Word of God, it is actually so that when we get to the point where this is what God says about you and me, we believe it. Because all of our experience, all of our past experience wants to tell us that's not true. In my mind, my natural tendency, the old man, is to magnify my failures and to key in on that and to beat myself up for that. God has put this in here so that we will believe that we are who he says we are. You know, there was a time, the analogy doesn't quite fit. I think it fits a little better than Mark Miller's, my example with Mark Miller. I already forgot that, by the way. Never mind. Forget your failures. So, but there was a brother and sister I was Bible studying with. And so I was going through actually belief and repentance. And somewhere in there, she said to me, Luke, I believe the Bible, but I don't agree with it. I'm like, come again. She said exactly the same thing. I believe the Bible, but I don't agree with it. And I realized what she was saying is she could sit there and that Bible up there in the bookshelf, she could acknowledge those prophecies are real. That was written by God. But she had no intention of repenting and changing her thinking to match the thinking of God. That's really what she was saying. And I think sometimes, guys, it's easy to mentally acknowledge us as Christians. Oh, yeah, this is what God says about Christ. That's true. And we didn't even talk about new creation. Yep, that's true. It's easy to mentally acknowledge that. But the difficulty is actually to lock in and believe what God has said. Agree with Him about that. So one of the things that I have to remind myself, God says this about me, what He says about us, I have to remind myself, God's always right. God is always right. So if this is who God says He has made me to be, the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same God raised me up out of the waters of immersion. That same God put His Spirit in me. That same God gave me a new birth. That same God says, I've been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And God is always right. Amen? So this is a reminder. And so back to Ephesians chapter 4, He says, hey, this I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord, you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. There's just a reminder here, and I'm going to quickly run through this section. Hey, that's who we were. The Gentiles, that's who, the way they walk, that's who we were. That is not who we are. But, you know, it can be easy to revert back into the old habits, into old ways of thinking, old ways of doing things. And so God's reminding us, hey, that's not who you are. If your walk is starting to look like that Gentile walk, you're missing something. You're forgetting who you are. We don't walk anymore as the Gentiles also walk. He says, in the futility of their mind. Just think about what does futility mean? Any takers? What's futility mean? Absolutely nothing productive. I'll take that one. Absolutely nothing productive. It's emptiness. It's wasted effort. I got a couple examples of this. The first I had planned. The second one was just too funny to pass up. So, one day I used to sweep the parking lot for Mel and Judy Hirsch at the paint pot. One day I'd get done sweeping the parking lot. My dad had to come pick me up. I don't know how old I was, maybe 10, 11. We come home, and my brother Matt and my cousin Jeremy were supposed to have been mowing the lawn while I was sweeping the parking lot for the paint pot. We come home, and there are like figure eights mowed all over the lawn. I remember this did not end well for my brother Matt and Jeremy. But that was futility. And the Gentiles say that was fun. But there was absolutely, it was wasted. Like, you are no closer to having the lawn actually completed, being mowed, than you were before you started. Because no matter how you do it, you got to start all over at the beginning. Totally wasted effort. And that's the Gentiles, isn't it? I mean, hey, there's some book smart Gentiles out there. There's some hard working Gentiles out there. There's some hard working false prophets out there. There are. Every bit of their effort is wasted. It's futile. Absolutely nothing productive comes from that. Here's the other one. And I just got to tell you, it's not going to be near as funny to you guys as it was to me, but I just have to do it because I haven't laughed this hard in a long time. I laughed so hard yesterday in my vehicle after that, like I was in tears and my abs were sore from laughing. And I started me laughing. My wife started laughing till tears were coming out of her eyes. And Talia was just laughing at me laughing so hard because she said, I've never seen you. So, okay, just try to enjoy this with me. Okay. Earlier the morning on the way up, Elena goes, hey, Dad, what's the address for the church building in Bozeman? I was like, well, I know it used to be 1935 Nelson Road. I said, I'm pretty sure it's 30 Red Fox Lane, but you better ask Mom. And so she asked Julie, and she says, I think it's 30 Red Fox Lane, but I'm not sure, it might be 40. I was like, no, I said 30 rang a bell with me, so 30 Red Fox Lane. So I'm like, okay, thanks. Well, then on the way here, I call Elena and check. She's coming with Isabel. And I call her to check up on her. Hey, you know, actually, I was picking on her on something, but that's not part of the story. So I say, hey, where are you guys at? We're still in Billings. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, We put 30 Red Fox Lean into the GPS. Guys, they were headed towards Judith Gap. I was super nice on the phone. I was like, what? Like, honey, you know where Bozeman is. Like, how in the world do you end up going towards Judith Gap? Like, okay, once you get to Bozeman, maybe you need to type in 30 Red Fox Lean, but like, what are you? I'll give Isabella a pass. She's from Ohio, okay? But after I hung up, I just started laughing. I was like, what in the world? That's futility. You know enough to put the address into the GPS, but you have no clue where you're going. Guys, that's a Gentile world. That's a Gentile world that even has the intention of somehow having a relationship with God or making it to heaven or whatever their version of that is, but they have absolutely no clue about what they're doing. Hey, that's where we were. We got to remember that. That's not who we are anymore. They're darkened in their understanding. No clue. Their minds are blinded, aren't they? I was appreciative of what Marshall brought out. Hey, actually, it's kind of interesting, too. The point you were making that we turn in immersion, 2 Corinthians 3, I really like that. That whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. And then a little later it says, the veil is removed in Christ. So you turn to the Lord, the veil's taken away. And the veil's removed in Christ. We know that we're immersed into Christ. So right along with your point, excellent point. But the Gentiles darken in their understanding. Their minds are blinded. Yeah, go with me to Colossians chapter 1. I just started memorizing Colossians recently, and I think about the contrast here. And just a little freebie, as long as we're on conversion and immersion, sometimes I'll have people ask me after we've studied and looked at some of these things, and they were immersed, but not with scriptural understanding. Well, I was immersed. Like, do I need to redo this thing, right? Do I need to... And I just find this passage interesting. Colossians chapter 1, I just want to read verse 6. Talking about verse 5. Because the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. You have to understand the grace of God in truth for the gospel to be, to do any work in your life. And so it is important for people to understand. If you were immersed for the wrong reasons, you didn't understand the grace of God in truth, you got to do this again. And just as a freebie. But the contrast, the Gentiles are darkened in their understanding. They don't understand. They're excluded from the life of God. I'm thinking of another passage in Ephesians. Having no hope without God in this world. Honestly, it's amazing to me more people don't commit suicide. Because fear of death just keeps it from happening. Ignorance, because the ignorance that's in them. You know, Aldous Huxley said, most ignorance is invincible ignorance. We don't know because we don't want to know. One of the great proponents, okay, of Darwinian thought and humanism, and in one of his honest moments, we don't know because we don't want to know. Scripture backs that up, doesn't it? Or I should say Scripture, first of all, affirms it. These guys, by their own words, back it up what the Scripture says. Because of the hardness of their heart. They're callous. After a while, you don't even feel the pain. You guys know, you do something long enough, first you get blisters, and then you keep doing the same thing, and that turns into calluses, and after a while, it doesn't even bother you anymore. That's Gentile world. Hey, callous. Hey, hardened. Hardness of their heart. Hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hey, I think Mark did a real good job preaching on that last night. Giving themselves over to sensuality for impurity with greediness. This is the Gentile world. We just came back from the Philippines. It was interesting. I mean, same sin problems in the world, guys. Okay? Drugs. Okay? There, even in parts of the Philippines, there's money. People are greedy for money. Sexual immorality. Okay? Homosexuality. transgender stuff's open. It's shockingly open there in the Philippines. Like, this is the Gentile world. Messed up to the core. And that's, hey, at some level, the scripture says, such were some of you from a list, right? From 1 Corinthians. I'm going to say, if we put all the lists together in the scripture, such were all of us. At one point in time, we were in that position. Okay? But not, that's who we were. That's not who we are. Okay? And so let's get into this a little bit more with actually who we are. You know, I guess one final point on that. These sins, guys, come from bad thinking. It started with the futility of their mind. These sins start from bad thinking. Hey, on the flip side, when we look at who we are now, he's going to be talking about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Hey, the key here is going to be our thinking, to line up our thinking with God's. So we didn't learn Christ in the way of the Gentiles. Do you guys remember, I don't even know how many years ago this was, Dad, but you preached a message on syncretism. Anybody, I think that was here at Family Camp. Anybody remember that? Okay. Really, really good message. Because, man, there is what's being sold as Christianity is actually an amazing mixture of all sorts of garbage. Okay? Just being from the Philippines, Catholicism's easy. I mean, Catholics are masters that go into a place and, hey, whatever you guys got for your culture, we'll just mix it with a little bit of our stuff. We'll throw in our idols with your idols and, hey, it's all gonna work out just fine. Hey, that's not Christianity. Hey, it is not a mix of paganism with Jesus. It's not a mixture of the world's way of thinking with, hey, some extra information here that we now have. Christianity is it's a completely different way of thinking. It's a new way of thinking, and it's at war with that Gentile way of thinking. There's a reminder of who we are. Let's go back here. I want to read these exact words. Ephesians chapter 4. You did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. It's a reminder of who we are, of what we've been taught. Like I said, when I talk to my boys, I say, you know who you are. That includes a lot of stuff, but part of it includes is like all of your training, all you've been taught, you know that. The scripture says, hey, you know what you've been taught concerning Jesus. I'm actually thankful for the message that Marshall preached right before me. The picture of who Jesus is. This is what we've been taught. Christ, all the way from really his birth, let's say up to where he is in glory, including his return. And so he says it's truth. Truth is in Jesus. But we got to come face to face with the truth. Johannes Kepler, famous mathematician, astronomer. I like the way he said that. He said, I was merely thinking God's thoughts after him. Einstein said, I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are mere details. Now, what those guys, when they say that, they're looking at this physical realm, aren't they? And they say, hey, we want to know what. And they even say, we want to know how. We want to know what is and how it works. Which, by the way, is really cool about science. If there's a creator, you expect to find answers to what and how. And so actually the foundation of the whole scientific method and everything else is because of a belief in the creator. Even though evolutionists, now nobody wants to believe in a creator, there's still a foundation there that when they actually approach things scientifically, they're expecting to get answers because of a foundation that was laid of expecting that because there was a creator. But anyways, that's got nothing to do with it. It's just one of my brain going off here. Those guys wanted to know, they want to know what and even how. Do you know what we get to know? We get to know why. We need to ask the why questions. In the spiritual realm, these things are opened up to us. We get to think God's thoughts after him. You know, Marshall was talking about God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways than our ways. Guess what God's willing to share with us? his thoughts. Do you guys know what 1 Corinthians 2? We have the mind of Christ. God's chosen to reveal those things to us. The things of the Spirit. The stuff that worldly wisdom, they can't even begin to understand that. God's chosen to give those to us. Guys, you know what a privilege it is to be a new creature? Like, you think about those mad scientists in there in the lab and trying to figure like out this next thing, and they're working, you know, all, you know, 20 hours a day and sleeping 4 hours because they just can't wait to figure out this next dude. Isn't that the way we, isn't that the picture of us as new creatures getting to understand God, the things he shares for us with us in the spiritual realm? This is the privilege we have as new creatures. So he says, hey, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's a new way of thinking here. I think I might have used this example before, but it works for me. It's a where my dad and Katie live now. So there used to be I think there's still a creek going down there, but there used to be a field down there. We go and we play in the creek and have fun. And Matt and I did all sorts of fun stuff, and I'm sure my other siblings too. Even though I'm the older brother, I was usually tagging along with Matt and his projects, whatever he was doing. So this creek, we decided we were going to reroute this creek. There's a spot that there was this tree, and we'd swing off the tree and go across the creek and all. But there was this perfect spot. We're like, we're going to dam this thing up. So we dammed up this creek. And it was like, hey, this is cool. We can get this water, but like, we made this beautiful dam, put all sorts of work into it. They're like, hey, let's reroute this thing. And so we made another route. We dug a trench and made another route around it. And we get water flowing through that. And it was really fun until somebody would come and wreck our dam and we'd have to start the process over again. But a couple things interesting. We never were able to actually get water to stop flowing through the main way. Like, we got it to go through our way along with it. But we never got it to quit going along its old main way. And then when the water would get low, it wouldn't go through our way at all. It'd only go through the old, or somebody would come and ruin the dam and, you know, etc. So I was just thinking about that. You know, pressure can bring out you back to those old ways of thinking. And so when we're talking about being renewed in the spirit of our mind, guys, we have to block off those old ways. It's really a two-step process that the Scripture speaks about here. Laying aside the old and putting on the new. We have to block off those old way of thinking. It's like, no, like, I'm not going down that track. And if you start to go down that track, immediately redirect that. Taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ, right? And so we do that. We dam that off, and then we're starting to form a new way of thinking. But brother, we got to stay with this and dig it until that new trench is deeper and wider than the old one. Sometimes we say, hey, we want this to be second nature to us. No, as Christians, this first nature. This is who we aren't someone that's been just forgiven. We are new creatures. Amen. So this is our first nature, the way of Christ, his way of thinking. How's that going to happen, brethren? Well, Scripture's pretty clear here. This takes place in the mind. It happens in our thinking. And so, you know, we got to replace the old information system, the worldly music, the worldly news, the worldly movies, the worldly whatever, worldly friends. We got to replace all of that stuff, don't we? Christian music. One of the things I enjoyed, we were in the Philippines, Dante. Man, he's always like humming hymns. Yeah, something like that. Humming hymns. And man, I'd join right in. We'd start singing. Like, I love that. Julie has I probably shouldn't tell this, but there's one of my favorite things she's written me is a list of some things she really likes about me. And one of them is the way I break out into song. Hey, I got that from my mom. Man, you sing spiritual songs. You sing hymns. Like, you can't have a bad attitude and bad thinking when you're singing scriptural songs. Matter of fact, sometimes I get some dumb song going through my mind. You know, sometimes they're kid songs or whatever. I need to be polite here. But, you know, a song that you don't want in your mind. And the only way I can get it out is by replacing it with something else. Like, my brain can't hold both of them in there at the same time. Okay? My brain's wanting to go off in another offshoot. So, redirect. Block, and redirect. Here we go. So, replace it. Christian music. Christian news. Where are you going to get Christian news? I don't think so. Hey, honestly, I get tired of the baloney. I think Isaiah 59 says it well. Truth has stumbled in the street. You know, the Soviets, Pravda, their newspaper, right? The truth, the propaganda machine. We're every bit as bad. Hey, where are you going to get... You know, there's only one news source that... What did Marshall say? The perspective from glory? Guys, this... You want to eat this, breathe it, drink it, sleep it. Nothing else matters anyways. Who really cares? I mean, I guess you don't have to totally have your head in the sand so you can't talk to anybody, but guys, America's going down. I read the back of this book, and we win, but Babylon falls. Every Babylon falls. So if your hope is fixed still in somehow America... Your thinking's misdirected. Aren't we citizens of heaven? Like, how about building the kingdom for the Lord? How about a little bit political fervor for the church of Jesus Christ? Amen? How about some, you know, be careful on the rants. But how about instead of ranting about all the... Let's talk about stuff that matters. Like eternal stuff. Like, this is who we are. Be in the Word. Christian movies. Christian friends. Christian, whatever you can get your hands on. Christian, like, fill your mind with this. Actually, I was encouraged to hear Mike Ferguson talking about a couple buddies running with him. I was like, that's an interesting idea. Wonder who is puffing the hardest there, you know? I like that. The inner man podcast. Hey, whatever you can get your mind on, guys. Be in the Word. Do you realize this? We get to think God's thoughts after Him. Do you know how awesome that is? Like, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us, right? And to our sons forever. Like, man, what a... Like, this isn't a checklist. Like, oh, you got to read your Bible. Hey, did you get it checked off? Like, why would you not want to know what God's thinking? Don't you want to know the way to think right? Like, this is the way. Be in the Word. God's Word accomplishes its purpose always. Man, that gives me confidence. I know God's Word is going to perform its work in us who believe. That includes me. And one thing I'm just going to say, encourage all of you guys. If anybody's struggling with sin, you're having a hard time overcoming or whatever, you hang in there. The one thing you never do is compromise the Word of God. Hey, you fall away from the truth or you start making compromise on what the Bible says, that's when you lose hope. But you hang in there and you believe this and you keep putting this in and you keep letting God work on you, He will work on you and transform you. You stay with this. Hey, that's the one out you never ever take. God's Word will work in you. And so I just want you to think about it. You know, we've been born again. We started this. New birth. Know who you are. We've been born again by the imperishable seed. Amen? Amen. The Word of God. And so, hey, what could you get? How about Bible? Bible. More and more Bible. How much is too much? I remember one time a gal telling me, man, I think maybe I'm overdoing it a little bit. You know, maybe I'm... And I said, man, I just got back from the Philippines. I said, you see those rice fields? Those things are, they're covered. What, you're not going to over-irrigate. Just put in the Word of God. Read it. memorize it. I actually was really encouraged. I was in Bozeman on a Sunday night recently, and I saw there's still a scripture memorization chart up there. I was trying to figure out, like, I can't remember now the names that I saw on it. I was like, man, we should start one of those in Billings. I like that's a great thing, to be memorizing the Word. People that want to be putting in the Word. It performs its work. Study it. Meditate on it. Teach it. How about pray from the Scriptures? You ever noticed, like, you want to take a thought and give power to it? You put it into words. Salesmen know this, don't they? Get you sitting, like, they can tell you all the benefits and all that stuff, and who knows if you're going to buy. When they start getting you to say the benefits to them, now we got it. Hey, in the Word, pray through the Scriptures. Like, talk to God. You want to know God? You want to know His ways? You want to understand Him? You want to think like Him? Talk to Him. Listen and talk. Communicate with Him. There's a transformation that takes place as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That transformation from us speaking with Him. I just want to close tonight by just, if I can. So in a general sense, like, you put in the Word of God and it starts changing the way you think. And it's fun. You know, I've been a Christian a long time, and there's still some refining. I had to go back and rework on some basics, some fundamentals, and like this kind of message, just a reminder of who I am. But I got to tell you, something that's really fun is working with non-Christians. And like, you start with them from the beginning, and you see them, and when they get immersed into Christ, and you know, whatever, however long that process, it is really fun to see the way their thinking changes. Their whole world view. It's just really a great experience. And it reminds me, like, guys, how much? Like, sometimes maybe we've been in this a while. Like, we don't think the way the Gentiles think. There's a new spirit that's been given to us, and we have the mind of Christ. But it's fun to watch that experience take place with others. But sometimes, guys, there can be something really specific. So I'm just going to give an example. I mentioned it last year at family camp. My Achilles tendon's having problems. I'm thankful for that because Misty Daniel somewhere heard that and talked to me. And anyways, she's helped me out a little bit. But the reason I just want to illustrate this. So my Achilles tendons are so bad right now that I have to cut holes in the back of my shoes. Because any pressure back there just, like, makes it almost unbearable. So I haven't worked out or anything for a year plus. It's just, they really are bothering me. I think I'm finally starting to go the right direction here. But where am I going with this? There's a general, I like to be in shape. I like to be fit. There's a general workout you can do to be in shape. But sometimes there's some specific things that can get in the way of the general. So how are you going to, like, let's apply this spiritually. Hey, you're putting in the Word, and this, but sometimes there are going to be specific things that are getting in the way of you making spiritual progress. You have to tackle that a little more specifically, aren't you? So, like these Achilles tendons, there's actually some interesting stuff I've learned about them. The problem is when they repair like, they kind of gets all scrambled. And so you have to do things a certain way to actually get them to line up. I don't understand enough, so I'm just going to say, line up the repair stuff in the right way. That's all I know. Okay, so, okay. There's something little. Actually, Johnny gave me a little backup on that day, gave me a little more encouragement on this. But I knew there's this one thing, I'm on the right track. And you guys probably don't really care about the specifics of it, so I'll spare you those. But it's a little thing that I can do, like, 3 sets of 15. Takes less than 5 minutes. I can do it in the morning, I can do it at night. Like, I'm supposed to do it 2 times a day. This is the one thing that actually does this right, and guess what I sometimes forget to do? The one thing that works, it's really simple. I don't understand it. I mean, the problem, the hang-up, like, how tough is that to do? But so spiritually, hey, let's be practical about this. Sometimes there's something that we got to take on. And You know, my dad's called it present positive affirmative, but that's from the scripture. Hey, the whole title of my message, remember who you are. God puts it in present tense. Like this, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've been taught it. Like this is who we are now as Christians. That's present. And it's positive. And yes, it's affirmative because there's statement of faith as we go along, as we're making progress here on this. And we got to be serious about it. Like, you take this on. You make a present, positive, affirmative statement. I'm not going to go into the specifics of that tonight. If you don't know, hey, there's a great book called Cleansing the Inside of the Cup that deals with that. Or come talk to me. I'd be happy to share with you some specifics of that. But, hey, this is basics. But it works. Do you know the world's figured out there's a magic number? Magic number, 10,000. You do something 10,000 times, it's ingrained. So you want to put a soccer move on somebody in a game and not think about it 10,000 times. It's a lot of practice. You know what that is? You rerouted that way of thinking is what you did. 10,000 times. A lot of practice. It's simple. But it's doing it over and over and over again. So I'm gonna give a bad example of me. I might have given it here before, but I maybe you could say have a fiery personality. And with that fiery personality, I've struggled with anger in the past in my life. And actually my mom saw that in me from the time I was young because she used to work on me, and she was like, self-control. I wouldn't say I had a short fuse, but I'd say when I got to the end of my fuse, everybody knew it. Okay? Like, and so, in my life, I realized, you know, I'm a Christian. I get married, and I get mad and punch walls. That doesn't sound very Christ-like, does it? That sounds like maybe the futility of their mind, the Gentile walk. So, hey, what are you going to do about that? Well, my mom had already told me what the positive was. It's called self-control. So go through some scriptures on self-control, get a present, positive, affirmative that I always exhibit self-control in my life. Man, there's some great scriptures about self-control. I like to win. Mike Ferguson mentioned that. I love to win. Did you know that he who controls his spirit is mightier than he who captures a city? I like that. Like, there's scriptures that specifically deal with that. And, you know, I also ask myself this question, hey, where's this coming from? And part of what I realize is trying to control things I can't control. And so self-control, when it's the fruit of the spirit, actually goes back to understanding that God's in control. And so working through this, right? So, man, I'm doing good. I'm married, I have kids, I'm not punching any walls, and then something comes up. When Matthew's 8 years old, and I end up punching a wall. Now, you know what the devil would like me to think at that point in time? You haven't changed. You're still the same old angry person. That's who you are. Now, guys, I gotta be honest before God and deal with that. Like, there's nothing that justifies that. But at the same time, after I make that confession to the Lord, you know what the first thing I say is? That is not who I am. This is who I am. I think Matthew's 21 now, so 13 years. Haven't punched a wall and anger in 13 years. It's never going to happen again in my life. It's not who I am. But there's some specific things that, and you know, it's pretty important being a husband and a dad and a preacher and a teacher to be able to have self-control. So there's specific things. Sometimes there's things, guys, we got to take that on person and say, hey, this is getting in the way of who God's called me to be. And so this passage in Ephesians, just close with this, there's some specifics. Hey, laying aside falsehood. You know, there's a song, there's a group called Acapella. We growing up, and there was a line in there that said, talking about the Lord, and he taught me how to stop doing those things. So we'll just say the Gentile things. My dad changed the words for us as kids. He taught me how to start doing good things. Yeah, I like that because you know what the scripture says here? Quit lying. No, it says laying aside falsehood, speak truth. Like there is a replacement. So you block the old, but there is a new way that you go. Every one of these in here, except Marshall's rage music, that be angry and yet, Christian rage music. Yeah, I had to ask this. I don't understand that. He's like, be angry and yet do not sin. I was like, wow, he's been asked that question before. Anyways, what am I trying to say here? Let him who steals steal no longer, but what? Rather let him labor so he has something to share with somebody who has need. Like, there's an old way and there's a new way that we replace that with. Brethren, this works for everything. Hey, this is a family camp, so let's just, I'll just close with a couple maybe particulars that maybe some of you can work on in your life. Maybe I'm a jerk to my wife and kids sometimes. I hope I'm not, but let's just say, for instance, I just come across as a jerk to them, and I can tell they don't really like it when I'm that way. What am I going to do about that? How about, doesn't the scripture say love your wife the way Christ loved the church? So maybe sometimes, would you like Christ to talk to you the way that you talk to your wife? It's a fair question, isn't it? So, hey, this is something in my life. I want to start making sure that I always communicate love to my wife. So I say, I love my wife, Julie, and I always communicate that in my words and actions. And I, Pops, how many times in the morning? 12? And again at night? 12? 12 times in the morning, 12 times at night, 21 days. I don't think we're quite at 10,000 yet, but hey, we're getting some stuff. You know what you notice when you start doing that? Is you actually notice when you're stepping out of that, you're like, you have somewhere to redirect to. And, you know, since half of you are women here, let's work on the other half. Maybe some of us are disrespectful to our husbands. So respect your husband the way the church is respectful of Christ. I did find it interesting. Kevin talked about the honeymoon song, Trust and Obey. Scripture does talk about obey. Would you talk to Christ the way you talk to your husband? I mean, let's call this for what it is. We're talking about pressure situations. We're not talking about your average, hey, thanks for dinner, honey. Oh, you're welcome, sweetie. We're talking about like when pressure situations are there, right? Like the dam got broken or the water's running low. Hey, what's the way you're thinking? Hey, I respect my husband, whoever your husband is, and I always communicate that in my words and actions. Guys, this is scriptural. This is what God has put into place. Lay aside the old and put on the new. It works. He gave some specific examples here. And at the end, hey, let all this stuff be put away and be. And all sorts of positive stuff. Whatever it is, it works. It's God's plan. It's the way He made us. And so, you know, in closing, I'll just say this. There's one thing we ought to do. Buy in. It's called faith. Buy into God's plan. And be all in. You know who you are. Remember who you are.